Coming from some country out there. We're glad to have you back, bro. We're glad to have you back. For the rest of us, remember I have been trying to say we gave Ken a little more grace. We're going to give him maybe 5 to 10 more extra minutes. For those of the children who are in here, you can do it. Two, we want to remind one another that it's a good thing. It's not a thus saith the Lord, but it's a good thing to sit as a family during this time. All right, so first of all, if your children do have questions, maybe you can lean over quietly. And we are begging you, we are pleading with you, talk about what we hear today on the way home. Talk about it Monday. Talk about it Tuesday. It's okay. It's okay if you don't have answers. All right, you can find them in God's Word. You can even call brothers and sisters here. All right, so without further ado, because I don't want to take his precious time, Mr. Hardesty.
I get to give you a little hug. I
can't breathe now. It is, as I've expressed over the weekend, it is really a delight for me to be here with you all again. It's been just so enjoyable to be able to, over the weekend, once again, stand behind this podium and to be able to share the Word of God with you. And I trust and I pray that those who were able to come over the weekend did enjoy and perhaps were encouraged or challenged by the words that were spoken over the course of the weekend. I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 47, because we are going to continue our thoughts this morning that we have been having through the weekend, since this is really a part of the weekend conference. We will be continuing thoughts that we have been having in the life of Joseph. You'll remember that we began on Friday night looking at those very early years, those so-called formative years in the life of Joseph, and the experiences that he went through and would have encountered as a young boy, and those things he experienced and encountered as a young teenage boy that would have shaped his life, would have formed his life. And we recognize that he had a very imperfect father, and that Jacob in many ways failed. But we also recognize from our study that there were many ways in which Jacob was very successful in training his son, Joseph. And we don't want to take the time to go back and review all of that. But even though Joseph had a very imperfect father, Joseph became a great man of faith. Never in the Scripture are we told that the Lord appeared unto Joseph. Never are we told in the Scripture that the Lord spoke to Joseph. We know he had those two dreams, and obviously those two dreams were from the Lord because they were prophetic in nature and they were fulfilled. But the Scripture never, after that time, says anything about the Lord speaking to him, appearing to him. In the time of his gravest hardships, the Scripture never says the Lord spoke to him. He lived by faith in the living God. He trusted God in the midst of his hardships. And so must we. And so must we. We'll remember over the course of the weekend we saw the types and pictures and prototypes that Joseph has become as an enduring picture down through the pages of Scripture of our own Savior and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pointed out a few of those things as we moved along through the life of Joseph. Those wonderful pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ given to us through the life of Joseph. We saw Joseph coming down to seek out his brethren at the call of his father to go and find his brethren. And so he went down to Shechem to find them. And when he found them not at Shechem and knew that they had gone on to Dothan, he continued to seek after them, to find them. And they saw him coming from afar off. And they plotted against him. Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him. And the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and they cast him into that pit as Reuben came to his defense and was hoping to spare him. And yet while Reuben was off, perhaps tending the sheep, here comes that caravan moving down to Egypt. And we saw how providential that caravan was. And how that in the timing and the perfect and absolute timing of God, that caravan that perhaps started months ago in a distant land, moving its way down past many bazaars and many towns and cities, stopping over and over again to buy and sell their wares, just at the right moment in time, by God's design, that caravan comes along. And Joseph is taken out of the pit and sold to the Ishmaelites and brought down into Egypt. We have discussed how that Joseph becomes or is the link that God would use in the prophecy that He gave unto Abraham when Abraham looked unto the sky and saw the stars and he could not count them in number. And the Lord said, "So shall your descendants be." And Abraham believed God, and it was accredited unto him as righteousness. And Abraham said, "How shall I know? How shall I know that these things shall be?" And you remember that the Lord condescended and entered into that human contract, as it were, covenant with Abraham, as he walked as a burning torch and as a flaming furnace through those pieces of animal that were cut in half, to signify the sealing of that covenant. And while that in that time, he also told Abraham that your children will go down and be strangers in a strange land, and for 400 years they will serve the king of that land. But I will bring them out and bring them back to this land. And Joseph, because he is found in the history of Jacob, because really the story of Joseph is a part of the history of Jacob. And therefore, it shows us that link that God would use now, bringing Joseph down to Egypt, to bring the children of Israel down to Egypt, to spare them in a time of famine. And there they would remain for 400 years. There they would remain in the land of Egypt, becoming slaves now to Pharaoh, until the time that God would send His deliverer, Moses, to bring them out. This was no accident. This was by God's design. And so when Joseph is lifted out of the pit and he is sold to the Ishmaelites, and his brothers, as we discussed yesterday, saw the anguish of his soul, saw the anguish on his face, and they would not heed him. And they tied him to the list, to that long chain of slaves, perhaps. And he's looking back at his brothers. He's perhaps thinking of his father, whom he loved, thinking that he would never see them again. Hearing his brothers jeering, perhaps, mocking him, laughing at him as he's taken away. And they saw the anguish of his soul. And 20 years later, they remembered, for it had never left their hearts and minds, the anguish of the soul of their brother while he was being taken away from them. And then we will remember in our studies over the weekend that he was taken down and put on the auction block, as it were, and sold to Potiphar. being in a place where perhaps he did not know or understand the words that were being spoken around him, for he was in a strange and foreign land for him. Perhaps hearing these sentences being said, siguro na narinig niya ang mga salita na ganito at hindi niya alaman kung ano ang ibig sabihin ng mga bagay na yan. That was Joseph's state. He could not understand. He could not communicate. But the Lord was with Joseph, the Scripture says. The Lord was with Joseph. And there in that house he learned. Because the brothers, we said yesterday, that the brothers could take away his coat of many colors. The brothers could take away his garment that pictured his position of authority, his position as a nobleman in that home, the position of the heir apparent. They could take away and strip away his coat from him, but they could not take away his character. And in that home of Pharaoh, he served Potiphar. He served him because he was serving the Lord God. And he rose in position. He rose in power. And again, he became what he was before he came down to visit his brothers. And he was back to the position where he was ruler over the whole house of Potiphar. All the servants had to listen to him. And we looked at yesterday how that perhaps they were saying, oh, what a lucky fellow he is. He gets all the breaks. It had nothing to do with his breaks. It had nothing to do with his luck. It had all to do with his character that was committed unto God. And regardless of whether the boss was standing there looking at him and watching his movements, he was going to do that which was right. And God exalted him. And there he was in that position of power, as it were, in Potiphar's house. And sometimes we remember that when we are in a position that is perhaps exalted, perhaps when we are in a position where men and women are looking up to you, that is when we need to stand very, very strong. That is when we need to be those oaks that are solid from the inside out. Because it is then and it is there that oftentimes the enemy will attack. And so he did. As we looked at again yesterday. So he did. And Potiphar's wife tried to lure him. Potiphar's wife tried to get him to commit sin with her. And we remember the statement that he made, the last part of that statement. How can I do this great thing, evil, and sin against God? I will not do it. And you remember that she grabbed onto him, and he fled away and left his cloak behind. And when he did so, she, now when her husband came home, accused him falsely of doing something that he was innocent of. And now Joseph found himself back in the pit again. Up and down. Up and down. Our lives can be that way sometimes. When you least expect it, you can be down in the pit. But even there in what Joseph describes it as, the hole, I am in this hole for nothing I have done, no evil that I have committed. But I am in this hole. But there, it Scripture says, but the Lord was with Joseph. What encouragement that gives to our souls, my brothers and sisters. Regardless of where you are as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, He is with you. In the good times and in the hard times, He is with you. And He will never leave you and He will never forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And so there he was again. And Because the Lord was with him, and because he was a man of integrity, he lost not his integrity, did he? Oh, the world saw him differently. Some people outside said, "You hear what Joseph did? You hear what happened in Potiphar's house? You hear what he did to his wife?" You hear? Being falsely accused, falsely ridiculed, when he did nothing. And perhaps even Joseph was thinking himself, "I know that I was taught that God rewards the righteous and condemns the wicked. And here I am in this hole. What, Lord, have I done?" And yet the Lord was with Joseph, and he lifted him up again. And there he spent time with the other prisoners that came in, and there he sought to comfort them. There he went about his business there in the prison, and the keeper of the prison raised him up, just as Potiphar did, to a position of authority over all the others. And he had this nice position again. And then we remember what happened. We have to move quickly because I'm using up all my time, and we haven't even gotten to today's lesson. So we remember what happened, don't we? That there those two came in, the baker and the butler, and they came in, and Joseph interpreted their dreams for them. He said, "Remember me," to the butler when he went back. And he was forgotten by the butler until that time that Pharaoh had his dreams. And then he remembered Joseph. And you remember the story. Joseph now comes in. He gives all credit to God. Aren't interpretations from God? Aren't they from him? And he gives Pharaoh the interpretation, and from the hole he is raised up into the palace of Pharaoh, second only to Pharaoh in greatness in the land. And he is exalted to this high position in the land. And you'll remember the story, how there's a great famine in the land after those years. And because of that great famine, the people of Israel, our children of Israel, Israel is now Jacob, right? So his children come down, his brothers come down into Egypt to buy food. And Joseph stands there and he recognizes his brothers and he says, "There are those scoundrels." You don't hear that from Joseph's lips, do you? You don't hear those words. He's concerned about his father. What about the old man of whom you've spoken? Is he still well? What about the brother? He's thinking, "I want to see my brother. Bring him down." And you remember when they appear before Joseph again. And Joseph's heart is swelling. His heart is swelling. And he sends everyone out of the room and he reveals himself to his brothers. "I am Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt." And I can just imagine the brothers' thoughts when they heard those words. "We are doomed. We are doomed." But no, it wasn't so with Joseph. For Joseph walked with God. He trusted God. And he could say to his brothers after this whole ordeal, "You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good." How many circumstances in our lives, brothers and sisters, can we look at it in the same way? Or ought we look at it in the same way? Where things that come into our lives, not because of our sin, but simply the struggles that come into our lives, that to us it appears as evil, but God means it for good. I was thinking in particular of my daughter Abby. And most of you know Abby. You know, Abby is such a delightful girl. How could she be anything else? But she's such a delightful girl, you know, and she studied hard and she did well in college and she was off teaching and she just loves to teach and the children just love her. What's not to love? And so they just love her. And when they moved from the Dubuque area of Iowa down into Illinois to Chicago for her husband to continue his studies at Trinity, she could not find a job teaching. But the Christian school that she wanted to teach in hired her as a receptionist. Well, that's very good. Now she's got her foot in the door. They know she wants to teach. If an opening comes up, Abby, we know that you're here. We know your qualifications. We know you want to teach. And we get a call from Abby last week that says, you know what's happening? They just hired a third grade teacher, which is the grade she teaches, from outside and brought them in. I had to take their applications. I had to greet them at the door. I had to bring them back to the people, show them their classroom. And she said, is it okay if I'm angry? It just doesn't seem right. And then there was another one. She had to take another application to some. And she's thinking, they promised me these things. You know, and it's a father's heart gets angry too, doesn't it? But you know, as I thought about it and I was thinking of these things in the life of Joseph, I said, you know what? The Lord may have another young child's life that He wants her to touch in a totally different school environment, in a totally different school. It may be at a public school, it may be at another Christian school, but there may be a life that the Lord wants her to touch. And we look at it and say, they meant it for evil, but perhaps God means it for good. And we don't understand God's dealings sometimes, do we? We don't understand why He allows certain things at some times. But what we can do is say, Lord, I will trust in You. I will rest in You. Right, my brother Tom? Genesis chapter 47. We're coming to the end now, not so much of Joseph's life, but this is the history concerning Jacob. Oh, boy. And here we are at the end of Jacob's life, when he's come down into Egypt now to be with his beloved Joseph, who he thought his eyes would never see again. And Joseph, not ashamed of his father, not ashamed of this very wealthy, but yet a herdsman, as it were, which was an abomination to the Egyptians. He brings his father in to meet Pharaoh, the king of all the glorious kingdom of Egypt. And here in verse 7, we see that encounter. And Joseph brought his father Jacob and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Without controversy, the lesser is blessed by the greater. And Jacob blesses Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of the father of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. This is Jacob's assessment of his life. This is his assessment of his life. How old are you? Few and evil have been the days of my life. I have not attained unto the days of my fathers. And I don't think he's speaking simply in number of physical days as he is looking at the spiritual content of his life throughout those years. He recognizes his shortcomings. He recognizes his failures. I have to shift gears for a moment. You will remember, turn with me to 1 Kings. You will remember another man who was greatly discouraged. In chapter 19 of 1 Kings, I've been studying the life of Elijah, the life of Joseph, the life of Jacob, and Haggai. Those four I have been looking at. And as I'm looking through the very end of Jacob's life, and as he assesses his own life, and he sees the failures of his own life, I am reminded of Elijah. In this story we get in chapter 19, you'll remember the story of Elijah, and we cannot take the time to go back and review the early years, but you'll remember that he stood at Mount Carmel. And at Mount Carmel, he challenged all the prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the Ashtoreth, and he challenged them all. And they put the sacrifices on the altars. And he said, call down on your God, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And sure enough, they called out all day long, lashing themselves with their lances till the blood was flowing, calling out and calling out on Baal as Elijah is mocking them. And there was no answer. No one heard, for there was no one to hear. And then Elijah calls on the living God, and the fire comes down from heaven and consumes the sacrifice, consumes the altar, consumes everything that is there, and the water around it is licked up, and we remember the story well, and now the people fall down before and say, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God! And Elijah is excited! Revival has finally come to Israel. Revival has come. My ministry has been successful. They have turned around. They have turned from God. They are crying out, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And he runs up, you remember, and he prays, and he sees that cloud the size of a man's hand, and he says, there's rain coming, and the rain came. And Jezebel hears, and she sends a message to Elijah. That your life will be like the life of those prophets of mine before this day is over. And Elijah runs. And Elijah runs. And that's where the story picks up here. In chapter 19, verse 4. But he himself, after leaving his servant behind, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. He said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Take my life. What is his situation? I think his situation is this. Lord, I tried to do everything that you told me to do. I tried to awaken the people. I tried to stir their hearts. I tried, Lord, to create revival in the land. And they were crying out, the Lord, He is God. But there is no change in the hearts of people. And they're coming to get me to take my life also. I have been a failure in my ministry, Lord. I have been a failure in what you have called me to do. I have failed. It is enough. Take my life. Take my life. I alone am left. Take my life. I have failed. And how does the Lord respond to dear Elijah? He comes alongside and says, yeah, you really are a failure. No. His angel comes. And he gives him bread and water. And then Elijah sleeps and gets some rest. And the angel wakes him again and gives him bread and gives him water and says, you need this food to strengthen you because the journey is long. And in the strength of that food, Elijah goes and he runs all the way to Mount Sinai. You see, my brothers and sisters, I believe that Elijah was in no way running away from God. I think he was running to God. He knew the Word of God. If we study the other portions of it, we know that he knew the Word of God. And he knew that God had appeared unto Moses there. He knew that was the place where God gave the law. He knew that place. And he ran. He made a beeline straight to where he knew God had once before revealed Himself. He considered himself a failure. But he headed right to where he knew God was. And how does God deal with him? It's a wonderful story, isn't it? How does God deal with him there? He goes into the cave, you remember? And there he is in the cave. And you remember what happens? You remember that the wind came before the cave. He was called to come out. But the wind, he did not come out. And the wind came and it rent the rocks and it tore the rocks. But it says, but the Lord was not in the wind. And then the earth quaked with a great quaking. And it says, but the Lord was not in the quake. And then there was that great fire, whatever that was, I do not know. But it was a great fire. And it says, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a gentle blowing. A gentle blowing. A gentle whisper. A still, small voice. And when Elijah heard that, he put his mantle on and then came out of the cave. And the Lord asks him, what are you doing here? He asks him again, what are you doing here? I have been zealous for the Lord my God. I have done all those things. When you commanded me to go, I went. And I alone stand. I'm alone. Isn't it wonderful the way the Lord responds to Elijah? I love the way He responds to Elijah. Let's read it. If I can find quickly the verses. He says in verse... And the Lord said in verse 15, and the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria, and you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shebat, of Abel, Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. And it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. You see the Lord's response? You see what He does to Elijah? You know what He does to Elijah? He recommissions Elijah. He says, Elijah, you may think that your ministry has been a failure, but Elijah, I'm not finished with you yet. Elijah, I still have work for you to do. You may think that you have failed. You may think that you stand alone. You do not stand alone. And Elijah, I'm not finished with you yet. Now go back and do these things. And we can't get into what those things involved. That's an interesting study all of its own. But go back. And what does Elijah do? He goes back. And he gives him a companion, Elisha. Isn't God good? Oh, my brothers and sisters, maybe some of you have felt, Lord, I've just been a failure. Lord, I've tried and tried and tried, and I've just been a failure. So many times I've messed up. And now I just want to end it all. I just want to give up. I'm just too tired to go on. Lord, I'm sorry I've messed up, but this is where I am. And the Lord turns to you and He feeds you bread and water. And He strengthens your soul. And He says, I'm not finished with you yet. I still have work for you to do. May that be true in our hearts and lives. Now you see, going back to Genesis now, these two things really do connect. And if I had another couple of hours, we could connect them a little better. But we will just move on now to chapter 48 now. You remember Jacob's statements. Few and evil have been my days. I have not attained to the days of my father. I have not, in what Jacob is basically saying in some way, again, you have to say in some way to save yourself from the bars of the very learned. In some ways, he is saying, you know, I could have done so much more. My life has been hard, which is really what the word evil means. My life has suffered many trials and many struggles as I've gone through. It's been hard. And I haven't been like my fathers, who are perhaps greater men of faith than I. And maybe some of us look that way too. Maybe some of us look back and see our fathers and we say the same thing, you know? My dad was such and such, he was such and such, and I just haven't been like him. But 17 years goes by, and Jacob down in Egypt for those 17 years, he has chance to look back. He has chance to remember. It's a good thing to look back. It's a good thing to remember. It's a good thing. I've heard this portion described as Jacob looking over the graveyard. He knows that his years of his sojourn are coming to an end. And here in the chapter 48 that we're going to look at, this is the second time that Joseph is summoned to his side. And the children are summoned to his side as he believes his life is nearing its end. And he looks back. And I just want to leave you with these verses in verse 15 of chapter 48. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. Look at the change in Abraham in those 17 years in Goshen. Look at the year. Look at this statement of Jacob now as he looks back. And he says, yes, my days have been few and some of them have been very hard. Some of them have been evil. But he says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, He has fed me all my life long to this day. The angel has redeemed me from all evil. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when we grow close to the end of our lives, may we look back and remember the blessings of God upon our lives. And when we were in times of difficulty and struggle, that we can say with Joseph, the Lord was with me. And He fed me. And He cared for me all the days of my life. Father, we give You thanks. We give You thanks for Thy beloved Son. For without Him, the angel of the Lord, the great and mighty King, who came into this world to save sinners like me. Oh, Father, how thankful we are for Him. For our Shepherd, who feeds us and watches over us all the days of our life. Lord, may we always remember His presence. May we not in any way ever yield our integrity, give over our character. May we live wholly and solely for Thee, depending upon Thy Spirit to accomplish it in our lives. May You be glorified. May You be honored. May You bless Your people here for Thy name's sake. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. James?
Brother.